Hello, everyone. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people to create oneness, and through support and universal guidance, educate people about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself and love you all. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. And I invite you for any questions, comments, or suggestions to email me at infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. I thank you for your participation and this opportunity for me to serve you. Thank you. Bless you all. I invite you to stay attuned all the way through to the end of the show because we're going to have a wonderful, informative show, as always. On today's show, I will be sharing with you my prayer as usual, followed by my special inspiring guest, Daniel Sadiq. He's a marriage and family therapist, and he's an EMDR practitioner. And we're going to learn what that is exactly. I've never heard about it, but we're going to learn so much from Daniel today. And what else? Daniel currently does not have a website. His website is to come in the near future, but during the show, we will give you his contact number if you have any questions or answers, or any comments, questions, any concerns that you can contact him. Thank you again. For now, I invite you to attune to the present moment as we shall pray on the air and unify in this moment. As I pray upon the Almighty God, the Divine, all that there is, the universal presence of beauty, love and truth in this moment. We are grateful. I am grateful. You are grateful. We are all grateful for all that we have and all that we are, recognizing the truth of who we are as our true self in the present moment. Who are we? We are divine. Who are we? We are love. Who are we? We are wonderful emanations of light and energy. Who are we? We are worthy and deserving of having a wonderful, fulfilling, peaceful, joyful life. How can we, by our willingness, by our commitment, by our dedication, by us allowing ourselves to live in the present moment? What is in the present moment is truth. As we release the past and the future and experience the now as our God self, as our true self, as our divine self, as our authentic self, as our peaceful self, as we allow ourselves to be centered in the present moment, grounded in the present moment, we experience the love within our hearts, eternal love, infinite love, fulfilling, healing, inspiring, connecting us to ourselves and to all that there is, loving ourselves, therefore loving others. In this moment of gratitude, I invite you to take a few deep cleansing breaths in and out to bring yourself into the present. One, breathe in and breathe out with a sigh. Again, I invite you to breathe in and again breathe out with a sigh. Allowing yourself to feel more and more relaxed into the present. One more, breathe in. And exhale again with an Thank you. Knowing that each breath is the breath of life. Each breath is the breath of love and light. Each breath is the breath of our blessed self, of our beloved self. We are grateful again. As we unite on this show, As we surrender, we allow God, divine, universe, whatever term you have for this higher power, for this source, for the creator of all that there is, lead us into right action, into right thought, into right deed, and into being in the present. Thank you again for allowing me to serve you. Bless you. Now again, I'd like to reintroduce our very special guest, Daniel Sadiq, marriage and family therapist. He's also an EMDR practitioner. I'm very grateful as I invite him on the show. Daniel?
Hello.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you for accepting my invitation to be on this show and sharing your knowledge and experience with all of us.
Well, I'm very glad to be on your show and spend this time with your listeners and be here present with you at this moment.
Thank you. Thank you. So I invite all of the listeners to be really present. It's going to be a fantastic show as it is, has started already. So Daniel, I know that you're big in promoting awareness. Actually, I am big on promoting awareness as I become more aware of myself and life. And you like to direct attention to the fact that most people have not been cared for in the way they needed to be cared for. What do you mean exactly by that? How can you enlighten us?
Well, I guess as human beings, we all have needs, and these needs are oftentimes not met, and our childhood goes by without some of these needs really being seen, being heard, or being touched upon. And as adults, we still have some of these desires and these hopes that they are not fulfilled, and not having these hopes fulfilled brings some sort of pressure on our spirit, our psyche, and we tend to act out on the lack of those fulfillments.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that we understand what are the needs that have not been met, the more we're able to, as you said, love ourselves and not judge ourselves and just be okay with who we are.
Right. And isn't this all that we want, just to be okay, to love and accept ourselves? Now, going back to what you said, as children, we have not really experienced fulfillment. And as adults, we carry out and act out. Did I hear you correctly?
That's right. You see, as children, our parents or our caretakers, they really try their best to give us whatever we need, but sometimes they're not in a position in their lives to be able to give us all that we need. So they can give us what they can, but it doesn't mean that we get what we really want. And these are certain hopes, desires, wants, and generally calling them affects that we are not receiving and we are being misattuned. That means we are not being paid attention to enough, as much as we really feel we need it. Based upon this, as grown-ups, we're still trying or hoping to get this attention, and this attention is still not there, no matter what we do and how much we try, because it's something that we really didn't receive. No matter even if we receive it now, we still don't know what it is. So it's like a chase for something that we don't know what it is, and we'll never get it.
Right. Daniel, is it possible that our expectations of others, of life, and of ourselves create disappointments in our lives and create lack within?
Well, if we call them expectations, that means we have an awareness about them. What I'm pointing out to, it's really not aware of. We are not really aware of these needs that are not met. So we act on their behalf without really knowing that we're having these expectations. For us, it's natural, our natural selves, to be in a certain way, and sometimes to others it's surprising. It's called selfish, it's called narcissistic, it's called many different names. But in reality, these are just needs that are not met. And until we really don't understand it ourselves, that what happened and what is it that we didn't receive, and find out how we can be okay without having them, or even if we have them, now what they mean to us. Then we can go on with our lives without being frustrated, without being agitated, without being stressed out about every little thing in our life.
Right. Would you say forgiveness is a tool of clearing and releasing and becoming okay and accepting ourselves and life and
forgiveness yeah. is definitely a very important factor, but forgiveness is only possible once you realize what it is that you're forgiving. Okay, mm-hmm. Because if I forgive something about someone, and it's just the act that I'm forgiving, but it's not really the feeling that I have felt because of this person's behavior. So what I'm forgiving is the act, but still internally in my own psyche, I'm not still okay with what has happened. So forgiveness has two different meanings to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
One is just the general phase of forgiveness that's verbal and we can just cognitively be okay with it. But the other part is intuitively being forgiving. And I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes. I'm talking about really forgiving from the heart and the soul.
Right. Right.
Not condoning. We're not saying people are right if they're abusing mentally, emotionally, physically. We're just saying where I'm coming from, my perception, my belief is that as I forgive, I'm actually clearing within my soul that darkness, clearing within myself, you know, that darkness. So this is one thing that you practice in your marriage, family, counseling, as you support, inspire, and assist people. Can you tell us a little bit more about your practice?
Sure. Let me just finish what we were discussing about the forgiveness part that you mentioned.
Sure.
See, the forgiveness that you just mentioned, only to me in psychology, is possible when we are forgiving ourselves. So before we cannot forgive ourselves, there's really no way to forgive others. The same way that you just said, if we don't love ourselves, how can we love others?
Bravo.
Okay.
Bravo.
So the forgiveness is really, to me, is about how we can forgive how we are. And then once we can do that in a honorable way about ourselves, then we can do it with others as well.
Bravo. I'm so aligned with what you said. Because I always say we start within. Everything starts within. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, and asking for forgiveness. The triangle, as I see it.
Right.
See? So,
right. And you
so
see, Michelle,
your
other question about the therapy and how it works, I guess you and I are on both sides of the same subject. You are looking at this from a spiritual point of view and a way that it's internally, and I'm looking at it the same way. However, my twist on it is that we have techniques or we have ways of bringing our patients, our clients, into a state that they are able to heal and get through what traumas that has happened to them in their lives.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And these traumas are pretty much any event that has had a lasting negative effect on us. So the core of what happens to us in life and those unfulfillments that we were discussing before are little traumas or big traumas in life. And everyone has traumas. Somebody loses a close person to them early in life. Somebody else is sick. Somebody has a depressed mother or father. So we all have different elements. We have accidents. We have natural catastrophes around us. We all have so many events around us as we are growing up. And some of these traumas, more than the others, have certain effects in us. And these negative effects create certain memories. And these memories are gathering other memories associated with them, and they build a bigger block of memory, which we can call them memory nodes or conflicts or, you know, many different names we can give to them. Some people even can call it stress. So these memories are traumas that are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger through time.
Right.
And in therapy, we try to go back to the source of these traumas and work it out through what has happened and how this has affected somebody's psyche.
Right, right. So right here on this show, spirituality meets psychology. And if this conversation for our dear listeners is a little bit heavy, I invite you to shake out your arms, shake out your body a little bit, shake out anything that feels heavy as energy, because this is it can be a little bit of a heavy subject for some people. Shake it out, and allow yourself to feel lighter. So, yes, we're speaking to traumas, and God knows we've all had traumas. I've had it with my near-death accident. This is a recent trauma, a huge one that I had. But would you consider a little fall a trauma also? Like you're walking, and all of a sudden you twist your ankle, and down you go, you know, bruising or scraping. Is that also considered a trauma?
Well, I guess if we can get over the effect of what happens, that is not called a trauma. A trauma is usually something that has a long-lasting effect. So if it's a twist of ankle, it's not a trauma. But if now, after a few years, we still are hurting from this and we're limping, yes, that could be considered a traumatic event.
Okay. So anything that has a strong, disempowering, weak emotion attached to it is a trauma?
Yes, you can say that.
Okay. And when people come to you, you support and assist them to clear the traumas?
Not always people are considering the issues of trauma. So people come in with different situations. Say, you know, I see a lot of couples. And these couples have their issues regarding their children, their financial situation, their families. So there are many different things that really we cannot call a trauma. It's somebody's life, and they have situations that is not in their best interest. So the way that I would like to dissect them and look at them is what traumas have caused these different states to come to existence. So in this couple, each one comes from a certain background, a certain family, and what the family influences have been on this individual and how the interaction of these two people based upon their life experiences created the situation they're in right now at the present. So we start from the present and we go back.
Right. And would you say taking responsibility for one's thoughts and actions is part of?
Oh, definitely. Taking responsibility is a huge part of, I guess, all of our healing. As we were just talking about forgiveness, is our responsibility to forgive ourselves. So the responsibility is a very important part of having a balanced life. The responsibility is definitely a key issue.
I love what you just said, a balanced life. Aren't we all looking for a balanced life? Just for a minute, reintroducing our special guest today, for those who have may just joined in, we're speaking with Daniel Sadiq, marriage and family therapist. He's also an EMDR practitioner. We're talking about taking responsibility in the moment and loving taking responsibility. I'm loving taking responsibility because I feel so much more centered and balanced. We're talking about feeling balanced, being present in life. And for me, taking responsibility means that I have the power to change and transform my present situation.
Definitely.
What is your perception?
Definitely. I guess you are touching up on a very key part of psychology. I understand you saying is responsibility is a big part of having choices.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it is safety. So if I want to break it down, to have good choices in life, to be able to make good decisions in the present time, we need to be responsible and we need to feel safe. And once we have these two in our possession, then our choices in life are much better.
Beautiful. Just for a minute, would you like to give out your email address or any contact number for
people?
Sure.
My email address is Daniel Sadiq, D-A-N-I-E-L, S-A-D-I-G-H, @yahoo.com. And my phone is 323-997-9001.
Beautiful.
I practice in Los Angeles area, and I practice out of two offices, one in the Valley and one in Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. So people have choices, as we're speaking. Choices in two different places to get support and assistance. For our listeners, just to recap here, I forgot to mention that this program, this show, will rebroadcast at www.webtalkradio.net. If you have missed part, or if you like your loved ones or a friend or anyone to listen to this very informative show, please pass on this message, www.webtalkradio.net. Thank you. So we're going back, taking responsibility, balanced life, loving, living in the present moment. And you were mentioning that when we take responsibility, we have choices in life. And so many times we forget and we don't know and we haven't been taught. What is your experience?
I totally agree with you. As I mentioned, responsibility is a very important part. And the other part is safety. We cannot forget safety. Feeling safe, secure.
Okay.
You see, if we do not feel safe and we do not feel that where we are is a place that we can be without worries, then we can have choices as well. So being responsible without feeling a security, a sense of serenity, a sense of well-being is not going to provide us any choice. So we really need to put both of them together to have better choices in life.
Beautiful. Let's elaborate more on safety. This is very interesting. Safety. And from your perspective, where does the safety come from?
Well, safety is like love, is an inner feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not only is it an inner feeling, it's something that we should tend to acquire if we don't have enough of it. So if we are not feeling safe, we really have to find out what is it that we are not feeling safe about. Is it about our relationships? Is it about our financial situation? Is it about our really physical environment? What is it that doesn't allow us to feel safe? And until we really don't address this need for being secure and safe, emotionally, physically, there are really not too many free choices. Then everything would be limited based upon the fear, based upon the provocation, based upon the threat, based upon the blames, based upon the biases, shame, guilt. So many different things can threaten our safety and security. So we really need to pay attention to that, because a lot of our problems come from the lack of safety, which self-confidence is almost same as the lack of safety.
Right. Would you say self-esteem also?
Sure.
Right. I realize that, and I really connect on a personal level of what you just said, because through my own divorce, I was really feeling the insecurity, the lack of safety. And I really went deep within to clear and complete myself in such a way that now I feel safe and secure. And my way is co-creating with the divine.
So you create your safety through your connectedness.
Through my connectedness to my true self, to my authentic self, and through the divine presence of all that there is, knowing that there is no separation, there is only oneness. And so how can I be alone?
Sure.
How can I be a victim? Only I'm a victim if I say and believe that I'm a victim and insecure and not safe. So...
No, I understand that it is really a big part of progress. If you can have any progress in life, you have to have this feeling of security and safety, and then you're able to be responsible for your actions, and then you'll have choices. So the three of them create a cycle, actually.
Would you kindly repeat that again, the three?
The three parts of this cycle are first feeling safe, then based upon feeling safe, you can really adhere to your responsibilities and look for your responsibilities and do them to your best, and then you will have choices. So they all come in a circle. Wherever you start, you have all three of them together, security or safety, responsibility, and then choices.
That's so beautiful. We just learned something magnificent that I'm sure within the one consciousness of oneness we can all relate to what Daniel just shared with us and taught with us, and I really appreciate that. Daniel, now you're a marriage and family therapist. What kind of issues or challenges do people come to you for support and assistance?
Well, you may want to change the question. What kind of challenges they don't come with?
Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah, with that, the list would be, can you, like, mention the top three or five?
Right. Well,
okay.
You know, in marriage counseling, usually the bulk of the problem is in the family of origin. People come from certain backgrounds, and these certain backgrounds have brought them up in a certain way. Once people are married, then they still have their own expectations from their family, and they're hoping that they get them met through their spouses. And this doesn't happen. To make it even more difficult, once they have children, each one wants to deal with their children based upon their own rearing and growing up and their family values. So now you're having your own parents behind you in this marriage, and your spouse has his own parents in his mind behind. So there are six people really dealing with these children. And that makes it really difficult for the children, for the marriage, to survive. The balance that a husband and wife or any couple needs to find is, first of all, to be okay with themselves before they can be okay in the marriage. So the first step is really to find that inner balance within one person and then be able to communicate that with their spouse.
Wow. This is all aligned with what I believe. So it's self-love and self-acceptance. When we're okay and the vessel within us is full, then there is no attachment or expectation of the spouse and the partner. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It is pretty much the same thing that you just said, and just different words explaining the same feeling.
Right. So do you also see children?
Well, the youngest children that I see are about 12 and up. So really, not children, adolescents are the ones who I start with.
Right. And so you're also an EMDR practitioner. What does EMDR stand for?
Well, EMDR is a technique. It's abbreviation for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. It's a bulky word for really bilateral movement of the eyes. So the technique is based upon movement of information or the memories. If you remember, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the memory blocks or memory nodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really processing these memories that have been sitting on top of each other and creating a block in our vision of ourselves, vision of the world. For example, if somebody is in a car accident, and this car accident has a traumatic influence on this person. Now, every time that this person walks around and hears a bang, will be afraid, will be frustrated, will just be shocked, panicked. So there are a lot of senses that would be recreated within this person just based upon the experience of the accident that they had. For example, the war veterans, when they come back home from the front, if they hear a bang in the kitchen, they may hide, you know, behind the chair because they may feel that a bullet is coming to them. So these are traumas and these are traumatic events that have influenced them. Sometimes this gets repeated in many different ways for many years, and it becomes even more complicated. So what EMDR does is to go back to the initial trauma or the main event that has caused the trauma and work it through by processing it through the movement of eyes. There is a lot of research done. A number of psychological studies are being carried out, and they all show some bi-hemispheric involvement. But really, still nobody knows how they exactly work. So the exact phenomena of how EMDR works is not known, but we know that for over 20 years it's been working. This technique was created by Francine Shapiro about 20 years ago.
So this sounds very much similar to neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, where we go and touch
it is,
upon...
It is a little more involved than NLP.
Okay.
It has more deeper effects as far as I understand it.
Right. And how about hypnosis?
Well, hypnosis is a different thing. This is not hypnosis. This is pretty much just reopening memory channels. While hypnosis is more of a imagined situation that one goes through a trance. So it is not hypnosis either.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. In this show, twice you have touched upon car accidents where I had one that was, again, near-death, life-threatening. Life-threatening in not such a way that I was dying, in such a way that as I felt the impact, I felt death. As that SUV hit my chest and I went down, the tire and everything, I felt the energy of death. And when you say that again and again, you know, every time I wanted for a short time, for a period of time, when I wanted to cross the street, I would panic. My heart would start beating fast. And as I saw any car crossing or getting a little bit just close to me, I would just, like, panic. Because I suppose what you're saying is that that memory was still running it. Well, you know,
exactly.
I worked on myself in different modalities, and I faced my fear where I went, where I got struck, and I walked it after a while. So you're able to release and heal through EMDR?
Definitely.
What kind of traumas?
So that's definitely what you just said. It's a very good case for EMDR. You see, when a disturbing event occurs, it can get locked in the brain with the original picture, sound, thoughts, feelings, and even the body sensations. So what EMDR does, it seems to stimulate the information and allows the brain to reprocess the experience. That's pretty much very similar to what happens in the REM sleep or dream sleep. Which is in the second stage of our sleep when we sleep at night. And the eye movement may help to process the unconscious material as like a computer that backs up. You know, every night you back up your computer. When we sleep, all of these memories of the day and the activities get backed up through a REM process in our brain. So this EMDR process seems to be of a similar situation, reprocessing the information that has sat there without being filed into appropriate files.
And
it's
so
your own brain that will be doing the healing, and you're the one in control of it.
Right. We are the healer.
Right.
We are the healer.
Exactly.
I love that. Everyone out there, all the listeners, we have the power within to heal ourselves. We are the healer. Now, Daniel, okay, we're reintroducing our listeners that may have just joined us. I'm going to reintroduce our special guest again. We're speaking to Daniel Sadiq, who's a marriage and family therapist and EMDR practitioner. Daniel, would you kindly give our listeners your email address and your contact number again?
My pleasure. My email address is Daniel Sadiq, DanielSadigh, at yahoo.com. And my phone number is 323-997-9001. I practice in Beverly Hills and the Valley, and I'll be glad to hear from you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Any questions, any concerns? Now, my other question is EMDR. I'm fascinated with this modality, with this way of healing. Does it support healing in disease?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you clearly.
Does it help support healing in disease?
Healing and what?
In physical diseases?
Oh, yes. See, all kind of, my belief is that many of our diseases and illnesses have a root in the psychology of our being, the way that we feel about ourselves. And again, if we want to go through the memory nodes and how they're blocking energy, so what I understand is the blocked energy through these memory nodes could be holding something from our natural flow, and this natural flow's diseasement will be called a disease. So you see, the words disease and disease are very similar. And
as I didn't hear that. Would you repeat that? Disease and what?
Disease, not being easy, like disease and disease. You even write them the same way, and they have the same meaning.
Right.
So when our feelings are not processed easily, that could create diseases. And if we can work through these functions of our psyche that are holding this energy, there is a good chance that a lot of ailments that we are suffering, especially things like asthma, migraine headaches, ulcer, gastrological obstructions in our intestines, even cancer. There are many, many, many situations that our health is a hostage to our psychological well-being.
How about autoimmune diseases?
To be honest with you, I do not know much about the process of them, but again, as far as I understand it, our psychological well-being can affect many, many, many different ways.
Right. Boy, don't I know it. As a live, live testimonial here of psychology and the mental, emotional, and disease, as I'm a lupus survivor myself. So I know that thoughts create, memories create, and just carrying on the past into the present, not letting go, not releasing, all of that creates disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so great to know that we have all these different modalities, different support through the universal intelligence and through people like you, Daniel, that can help us clear and live more in the present moment. My other question is, do you work with children with EMDR?
Yes. EMDR works with everyone.
Okay. Would you say children are easier candidates for healing, in your experience?
Candidate for what?
For healing.
For healing? If we just talk about the traumas, you see a young child has less traumas usually than an adult. So there are less depth of these memories that we have to deal with. So the changes are much easier.
Right. So let us all get our children to release whatever they have now, since they don't have much. It's so easy. You know, I call it garbage.
It's
my language. I call it garbage. I call children, they have so much less garbage than us adults.
Yeah, but I think you're bringing up a very good point, and I think this is one problem that therapy and psychotherapy in general has not got a fair share of attention yet, is because people do not realize that cleaning themselves up, like the same way that they go to take a shower,
mm-hmm.
through therapy we can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be that there is something wrong with us to go see a psychologist or a psychotherapist or, a counselor. It's pretty much the same as taking a shower, just going to a psychological bath to just let go of what's sitting with us. Just as you phrased it, the garbage that sits in us has to be released, has to be cleansed, and has to be just let go of. And if we just hold on to this and we cannot have any place to process them, so imagine how much of this is going to be sitting inside of us, makes us heavy, useless, tired, agitated, angry, and so many other phrases that are not attributed to a being of a person.
So beautifully said. And why do we choose to carry the garbage day after day, decade after decade, until it turns into a disease, until it turns into something really growing out of our bodies into something? Why do we do that? Would you say it's lack of self-love, lack of self-awareness? Would you say, Daniel, in your opinion, would you say it's fear of facing what we are responsible for, fear of taking responsibility, acknowledging, fear of what? What would you say?
It really is a little bit more complicated than us. I think now we're talking about more of a society and more of a general public about this and how the family values through years has been rigid and has been really restrictive about sharing our thoughts, sharing our feelings with others. The science of psychology and psychotherapy, it's relatively a new science. It's only about a couple of hundred years old, and still people are not looking at it as a proper science. They are not really understanding it as something as helpful as going to a medical doctor for a pain in their stomach. So as long as this information is not accessible and people are not really in touch with the reality of most of, as we call them, their diseases, then we really cannot expect them to take responsibility of their own what you call garbage and taking care of them. You see, information is really the smallest unit. It's like oxygen that we have to take in to stay alive. Information is the smallest unit of anything that we can really measure. In the quantum mechanics, there is a unit called qubit based upon subatomic logic. And this unit of qubit is the smallest fragment of information, and these information are the building blocks of whatever we know, however we are, how our genes are functioning, how our intelligence is working, how is our cognition is working, how our physical well-being is working. So the only way that we can get through this garbage is by having more information. The more that we are open for information, the more we are able to let go of what is disinformation or misinformation or blocks.
And I appreciate what you said before, family values. Nowadays, I wonder, I mean, like, I'm being challenged by my family, myself, you know, society, everybody has their own wants and needs and different timings. Do we sit together? Do we share? Do we acknowledge each other? This is what I call a part of family values. And if we do, what do we create? What can we cause? Family values. Can you touch more upon family values?
Family value is kind of going back to what we were discussing about the child rearing and the primary care as we are born. Now imagine if the cultures or the families that we are raised and born in are not adaptive to new information that comes along. As it's prevalent in many cultures, they just hold on to the information that they have carried for thousands of years and they think this is the only information that's valid, although there is a lot of new information that's coming along. Now if our families are those families who are just holding on to their core beliefs of their ancestors, the chances that we don't have much space to be who we want to be, to grow to the fullest potential of who we are less. The more that we are given the chance to be expressive, to be curious, to be open about ourselves, the more are the chances of our growth. So when you say family values, these family values are really different in each family and in each culture. And based upon those values, we tend to be who we are, at least until we have choices ourselves to go and find out the new information and move on, as probably you've done.
Right. Right. So would you say that we can, as an experiment, we can just sit down and write our own family values? What is, like, the top valuable contribution to our family? What can we contribute? What can we share? What can we be open to? And write it down and cause it by our choice, by our willingness. Am I aligned with what you're saying here, or am I...
Well, I understand what you're suggesting, and it's a very good suggestion. If it works for someone who's more oriented towards having goals written down and pursue, why not? My philosophy is that it works for me better if these become part of oneself. Not only writing them is good, just kind of writing them in your soul, writing them in your being, that we are who we are okay with who we are, and we are just trying to make our lives better as we learn more and we go along.
Absolutely. And would you consider that writing them brings awareness into the consciousness?
I guess writing it doesn't hurt. It definitely is.
No, it's painful. Don't write it.
It's a confirmation, as you said, and you can just have more of a visual and a mental and a, you know, method to just implementing it as however that it would work for one. And I'm sure that for many people, writing will work.
Yes, yes. Journaling and going to Daniel Sadiq, who's a marriage and family therapist, EMDR practitioner, we've been speaking to, such delightful information, useful, informative. I'm so grateful. Daniel, before we close, and we're not closing right now, would you kindly give your email address and contact information one more time?
Sure. My email address is Daniel Sadiq, DanielSadigh, at yahoo.com. My phone number is 323-997-9001, and I practice in Beverly Hills and the Valley.
Beautiful, beautiful. Danny, I want to ask you a question. What is your, if you don't mind, what is your vision for humanity?
Can you elaborate on your question?
What is your vision? Elaborate on my question.
Yeah.
What is your vision? What do you like to see take place? And change and shift and transform for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you see the children of God be? And where do you see yourself? How would you like to be a cause of change and transformation, as we talked about in the beginning, for awareness?
Yeah, I guess the way I'm looking at my own way of living is every day that I get up, I'm like it's a new day and I'm a student. I would like to learn what's out there for me on that day and just utilize what I learn and just go on with using it in the best possible way without harming others, being humble and being at the service of others at the same time that I'll provide the best for myself. So it's, as you said, being one with the universe. And I think to do that, we have so many different possibilities. We are very much divided through the ages based upon territories, based upon cultures, religions, color of skin. Many different divisions have divided us. And if we can put these aside, if we can just be the human beings that we are and connect with each other through so many gifts that have been invested in us, in every one of us, we can create a world that is in harmony and it does not have to be painful. Yes, life is difficult, life has obstacles, but that's what makes life meaningful, and at the same time, we all have the possibility of feeling good regardless if there are problems or not.
Mm-hmm.
So my hope for humanity is that we can promote the wellness by bringing in different philosophies of thought. Say, for example, today I was talking about psychology and you were talking about the spirituality. They are not really different. We can just look at the same thing from 5, 6, 8, 10 different aspects. And if we can bring all of those into our consciousness, into our system of functioning, and using them in our in the betterment of our physiological and spiritual and psychological well-being, I guess that's what I would like to achieve by combining all of these. And I'm hoping I'm working on opening up a clinic that would bring all of this together in the very near future.
Blessings to you in your purpose, in your mission, and in your intentions. Thank you so much, Daniel, for all your sharing of information and contributing to us and being so open. We appreciate you as our time is over.
Well, I'm glad that I was able to have this time with you and your listeners, and it's been a privilege and learning for me as well.
Thank you, Daniel. Many blessings to you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry?
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessing you in your journey. And so we've learned so much. We've acknowledged so much. We've talked about inner balance, being okay with who we are. We've talked about safe and security, responsibility, choices. And as Daniel said, waking up every day as his intention is being a student of life. We can recreate ourselves every day, as there are infinite possibilities of creation at any moment. We can wake up into a new day. I wake up saying, good morning, God. Yes to life, God. This is the way I have trained my mind, my soul, my presence to wake up to all that there is. Here's another new day. Co-creating. This is the way I do it. Co-creating with all that there is. We are not alone. We have each other, the oneness. Here on this show, spirituality and psychology. Oneness, oneness, oneness. And thank you for being present with us. This is Infinite Love Radio for this week. I invite you to take a deep cleansing breath in, breathing in infinite love to every cell in your body, and breathe it out and give it out to the whole world, for we are all one. One big, giant ball of love and oneness. If we choose to, and let us choose to. Thank you so much. Here I go again. This is my email address for any questions, comments, and suggestions. You may email me to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. It's been a pleasure, as always, as I serve you, as it is my pleasure to be one with you, creating and uniting all of us together, for we are definitely the light of God as form, as us. Thank you again. I wish you many, many blessings and a wonderful week until next week. I'm Michelle Morovati. Blessings to you. Good day.